Welcome to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass with Brett Henderson, founder of Strategic Wealth Endeavor. We've created a community of veteran entrepreneurs just like you who are ready to help you succeed. Our podcast provides expert advice and resources so you can overcome any obstacle in your way. With the help of Brett and veteran guest experts, you can build a battle-ready business mindset to take your company to the next level. Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Now, on to the show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Brett Henderson here. My guest today is the amazing Jason Jurado, NLP specialist, not linguistic, but that's not the correct term. So I won't even try and decipher it. So you and I met, I'm going to let you jump in and share a little bit, but you and I met several years ago on LinkedIn. We connected originally when I was just doing outreach regarding veteran suicide after I lost my friend Adam, and we never did anything. And then for whatever reason, you made a conscious decision to literally every single post that I ever put out there. And so all of a sudden, I just saw your face. There's this guy. I just see his face. And like, you and I never spoke. And then eventually, hey, what's up? And you're like, oh, I'm busy. I'm like, wait, you can't be busy. You've all my stuff. I'm like, what's going on? I felt like hurt. And then like, I wanted to chase you because you just had your face there the whole time. So anyway, welcome, brother. Why don't you take a minute, say hello, introduce yourself. So your background, though, you do have some pretty cool history as far as lineage. You have some Native American in you, and I think your grandmother was a medicine woman. So I'll let you chat about that and just how you've taken your journey. And you're also a Marine. So we got two Marines here, two knuckleheads. So we're going to eat some crayons and have a great conversation. So welcome, Jason. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks so much for having me on here. And it's great to finally connect. We've connected obviously before, and it's great to be here with you today. Talk about that. Yeah, that was an interesting journey. That was, I believe in community. I'm very big, not just who I've always been, obviously through the core. That's really what it's about too, the brotherhood and the sisterhood and all that good stuff. And it's funny that you mentioned that because you're like, are you stalking me? And I was like, just trying to support, brother, just trying to support. So that was really good. But yeah, no, my name is Jason Jurado. My company is called One Path Coaching. I do life coaching and hypnosis, helping people along their mental journey, their mental health, basically positive. It's so much going on in the world. It's just so needed. And so that's been my journey throughout my life, talking about my background, starting the beginning, so to speak. I've always been a healer. It's always been just who I was from a very young age. And you had mentioned it. My great grandmother was born on the White Mountain Apache reservation when there was one back in early 1870. Never met her. She passed in like 1960, but my dad knew her. My dad grew up around her and my dad took after her as well. But there was always that, oh, you take after grandma. But I didn't know. You're a kid. What do you know? But I was always the person that friends came to. I was always the one where it was like, if someone was down and needed help or having some troubles or issues, they'd come and talk to Jason. And that's just
why. Why Jason?
Compassion. I was always there for people. I had that calling. So I felt it inside and I knew when to be quiet. I knew when to talk. I knew when to make suggestions and when just to be there. And what in my world, and not to be too touchy feely for a bunch of jarheads, but we're all different types. Yeah. In my world, just holding space is what we call it now and just being there for people. So many times we really try to interject how we're feeling, or we try to share a story about, oh yeah, you're feeling bad because your dog died. My dog died last year too and blah, blah, blah. And that's not the thing, right? You make it about yourself. And so just having that compassion and to be able to sit with somebody and just really make it about them and really understand to listen to them. So being a good listener, being compassionate, having an idea if they asked for support, how to support before I was trained in any of this stuff. It's just something that came to me. So that was something from a very young age.
So that's just really who you are. That's your natural identity. You're naturally a compassionate, quiet, chill guy. I think when I saw your profile, what you did with neurolinguistic programming, NLP, and how you were liking all of my content reminded me, I'm looking at my library right here. I think I have the book somewhere. I think it's called Likeability. And there was a story, and I think I shared it with you before, but I'll share it here because it's very fitting, as anyone can do it. There was a story of a American CIA agent, and there was a Russian agent living in the United States. They knew about him. They knew he was there. And they wanted to get in touch and see if they could bring him over, have him defect and switch sides. But they had no relationship with this guy. So they figured out where he lived, and he went to a certain market every day. And so this one U.S. agent, American agent, just sat in a park bench every day. So the guy would come down, go to the store. He'd see him every day, saw him over and over. And he just looked, and eventually he brought his paper down and nodded in the eyes. They had eye contact and they had the familiarity. And then he would go in, the Russian agent would go in the market and always got a can of peas for whatever dish he made. Always got the same thing, the same row, same aisle. So eventually the American agent got up and would be in the market when the Russian agent was in the market, and they'd have eye contact, hello. And then finally one day, after months and months and months, the agent, the Russian agent, went to pick up his can of peas, and the American agent went right before he did and grabbed the can of peas and handed him to him and said, here, I think, believe this is what you want. And the Russian agent's like, it's about time you said hi to me. Like, I've been waiting so long. And so it was really funny, just that familiarity, which you unconsciously did. You didn't even mean to do it, but it was exactly that. So as you were liking all my stuff, I saw your face and I saw the NLP. I'm like, this guy's a master. And you didn't, you were just being supportive, but you was totally working and you didn't even want it to work. So I think that's great. So then I think, when did you identify then with your skill set, or just when did you become self-aware that you have compassion compared to, I don't want to make fun of myself a little bit, but sometimes I'm that guy that you described that talks a lot and should listen more. Oops, but I guess play to your strengths, hence I have a podcast now. So when did you realize or have the decision like, hey, this is who I am and I want to use this for greater good and help people? And when did you just say, this is who I am? And when did you realize you could turn it into a profession?
That's a great question, because that's just what it was. It was who I was. And I'd never even thought of it anything other than that. And it was actually, to answer your question specifically, 1999, I had gone through some stuff in my life, some things, sure, some major changes, some major shifts, and I really wanted to help other people. And it was really a conscious decision, okay, how can I help more people, not just the people I come in contact with? So when I looked around, I knew who I was, I knew what I could do, but I needed a toolbox. I needed something that specifically I can use to help more people, something I can contain all of this with,
okay,
and then refine it, sharpen that blade, so to speak. And I started looking around different modalities, what fit for who I was, what I wanted to accomplish. And there's a lot of amazing things out there. And believe it or not, I was reading a spy novel by David Morrell. And in that spy novel, to your point, talking about building rapport, one of the agents was trained in NLP.
Okay.
And I was like, what's this? And that literally took me down the rabbit hole, and I really started looking into it. And within NLP, neurolinguistic programming, I started looking then within the field and saying, you know, what?
I had to pull it out of my library right here. I'm like, I know I got it. And there it is. Yes.
Yeah. And I started looking at different instructors and different, because there's a lot of different worlds within the world of NLP, like everything.
What is NLP? Let's stop.
Perfect.
There. Sorry. What is NLP?
Thank you. So neurolinguistic programming, the shorthand answer is it's using the language of the mind to get the results you want. Language of the mind.
Using the language of the mind to get the results you want. Okay.
And working with the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind works in symbols. Words are just symbols. So language becomes part of that. So the joke is language is our middle name, linguistics, neurolinguistic programming. And early 1970s, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, one was a teacher in Santa Cruz, at UC Santa Cruz, and one was a student. And they both had a their own experiences they brought to the table. And Bandler was actually working with Fritz Perls with Gestalt therapy. And they were looking for something better. They were looking for something of what worked. And there's a system within NLP called modeling. And it's basically you model excellence and you find somebody that does something really well. And then you model it and you take from it what's going to work. And then you throw out what's idiosyncratic, what's not needed. The pitcher that tugs on his hat before he throws a perfect pitch. Maybe I don't need to tug at my hat before I throw a perfect pitch. So I could probably toss that out when I learn to pitch. But anyway, so they were at UC Santa Cruz and they worked with a bunch of students and they just took a bunch of models that worked. So they like modeled Ericksonian hypnosis, Virginia Satir with family therapy, Gregory Bateson, some language, things of that nature. And they distilled it. And it really became, how do we elicit change in people? How can people change? What can we take from these modalities? And they just brought it down and just narrowed it down. And that was one of the actual things that people found fault with NLP, because it was not humanistic. It was like, you have a problem, let's fix it, and then let's move on.
That's me. That's me. That's me. Problem, fix, go.
It was like, boom. And that's NLP is so powerful. That's what happened. And so then it evolved from there, and the humanistic side came about and stuff like that. The one thing I want to say, and not to correct my host, my gracious host, but
you can correct me. I'm broken. Have you met me? I'm definitely broke.
We don't talk about fixing because no one's broken. And if I said that, I misspoke. We bend. We're humans and we bend, and we have situations in our lives and things that we, and that's what part of what I do is we help clean those filters up. And so no one's truly broken. People are just have things they need help with. And that's what we're here for, to help them on that. I say that I'm a tour guide. I just help you on your path to that perfect, to living that life you desire. It is one of two things. It is helping people on that journey of cleaning up and changing their filters. And it's also generative. So that means.
So the question though, is it conscious change or subconscious change? Are you aware? Are you doing actions or taking steps or measures that you are consciously trying to change something within your mindset, or is it subconscious? You do certain activities and subconsciously it's making changes.
Yes, I teach you techniques to how you interact with the world further on. So you don't need always to see me once we're done. If you were really sad, or let's say you're really angry right now.
I am.
And I said, well, just tell yourself to not be angry. Could you change that? Could you just go, oh, stop being angry and flip a switch? Nope.
Sometimes, but being self-aware as you get older and you become aware of your emotions, that's something. There was a book by David Dedaya, The Way of the Superior Man. I don't know if you've read that or not. I'm going to definitely recommend. If not, I'll send it to you. And it's just about acknowledging and feeling your emotions. So you get angry, you feel yourself, hey, I'm getting angry. Once you could look at yourself objectively, you can control it, right? Oh, why am I getting angry? I don't want to be angry right now. Then you can bring it down. So it's hard to do. I could do it in small sprints, and then I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm a verbal thinker. I'm a passionate person, just who I am. So for me, it's a huge challenge. You and I are polar opposites as human beings, which is fine, which is why we get along. But I'm aware of sometimes I can be aware of my emotions. And when you're fully present and observing yourself in almost a third party way, you can control. So your point is, if you're aware of your emotions and you're trying to feel your emotions, then you can control them. So I know you said you can't do it, but if you're trying to do it, you can actually, at least I can a little bit once in a while.
Right. Right. And you bring up a great point, but you jump to the masterclass. You jumped ahead, and that's great, because there's levels to this, as we say, right? So to answer your question first, we call it the unconscious mind. People call it the sub.
It is unconscious.
So people call it the subconscious mind. But at the unconscious level, that's where all of our filters are. That's how we interact with the world. That's values. That's metaprograms. That's thoughts, beliefs, whatever. And that's the unconscious mind. So yes, we definitely 100% work with the unconscious mind. They actually, there's a little story.
Who's they?
Humans.
Okay.
Us.
Got it. The infamous they.
Yes. We all, I should say, great point. We all come from our unconscious mind. There's a story where my trainer, who's passed away, but he used to work with Bandler. And the story goes that one time he asked Richard Bandler, and he said, is NLP just us keeping the conscious mind busy while we do work in the unconscious mind? And Richard was like, no. And then he came back later and was like, okay, yes. So. Yes, working with the unconscious mind is what this work does, because that's where change happens, the unconscious mind. That was my point about, can you just think, not be angry? Now, to your point, and like I said, you jumped to the masterclass, to your point, yes, emotions and the unconscious mind is the domain of emotions. That's where your emotions come from, because they come from your filters, how you see the world. What it is that emotions are just signals. They're telling you, hey, something's going on. I want you to be aware of it. And yes, our unconscious mind does talk to us. That's one of the first things I work with clients with, is Milton Erickson, who we took Ericksonian hypnosis. And that's what I'm mostly trained in. I'm trained in hypnosis, but NLP takes Ericksonian. He said, patients are patients because they're out of rapport with their unconscious mind.
Okay.
So to your point,
I'm processing.
To your point, yes, that's beautiful. What you're saying in that book is I agree with it. And what happens is that when these emotions come up, when you struggle with emotions and you try to push them away and you try to stuff them down, that's what causes the problems. Freud said the problem with unresolved emotions is that you bury them alive and they come back in far worse ways. And so Stephen Gilligan, who was actually a student of Erickson's, and he's well regarded in NLP, works with Robert Diltz. He's amazing. I've sat through some of his classes. You know, him and Robert talk about when those negative emotions come up, you say, you welcome them and you say, welcome. You're part of me. What are you trying to tell me? That's what you're saying. That is self-awareness, right? So when you get sad or you get angry, you don't say, don't get angry. Cause what happens? You get tight and you grip it, right? So you're like, why am I getting angry? What is this all about? This isn't about the guy that cut me off in line at Starbucks. It's not about that. What is this truly about? What message am I trying to hear? Now, trust me. I get that's a learned and it's a process. It's a practice.
It's hard to do.
Some might say, it doesn't come easy when sometimes you just want to be pissed off. Sometimes you just want to be sad. You want to put on that for us. I'm older than you, but you want to put on the cure. You want
I know the cure is.
Sad. Okay, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? So we want to feel it, but you can just let it go. And that is the unconscious mind.
Okay. I like where this is going. So you did bring up when you chat with people about their values. And so I wanted to talk about values because in our, a second podcast with Giselle, we talked about our onboarding process for clients. And before we make any investment recommendations, it's important for us to understand the client's values. And so I went through one of my designations, the BFA, Behavioral Financial Advisor, and you understand, you learn the skill set to understand your client's values. And if you understand the client's values, you can make sure that any investment advice you provide them, or any advice, it doesn't be investment advice, it's life advice, is also aligned with their values. And so you've got your deck. I've got my deck. Let's see your deck. There we go. I sent you the values card. Think to perform. These are pretty cool. Have you gone through the exercise yet? Do you want to talk about this?
I haven't gone through the exercise, but I would love to talk about it. Yeah, I did go through the cards and I looked at them, and our approaches are a little bit different, and we can talk about that for sure. But I love this. I actually, when you talked about that, I got excited because I was like, oh my God, that's wonderful that people are talking more about values.
It's huge. It's so important. We want to talk about what this is because it falls in with your values. So everyone,
please,
if you become a client, we're going to mail you one of these decks of cards. And there's a whole bunch. And there's I don't know how many. There's a lot, right? There's a lot. And every single card has a different value on it. And so the goal, the first time you go through it, you go through and just say, which of these appeals to you, which one does not? And you break up the deck. But everything really, there's so many things. You're just like, oh, it's me. Okay. Then break it down to your, go through it again and pick 20. Go through it again and pick your top 10. Go through it again and narrow it down to your top 5. So then you have your top 5 values, and it's hard to do. And then you're married. So we actually recommend our clients do it. And they do it separately, and the spouse can't say anything. So one spouse will go and they'll get their values. And then the other spouse will go and get their values, and we don't share them while they're doing it. And so then you go over your values together, and it's actually, I mean, the investment advisor, it's almost marriage counseling in a way. Not almost, it is, because then they say, oh, family. Obviously, most people have family as a value, especially if you have kids. Right. It's just huge. It's an easy one there. But someone could be travel. Another one could be, I'm just picking, fame. And so maybe they're an actor and they love and thrive there, and that's just who they are. And so once you have your top 5 values and communicate them and are comfortable with them and understand you use those values when you make decisions, they're part of your decision-making process because it's part of who you are. I think it really helps drive and clarify your own mission and why you choose to do the things you do and why you choose to live the way you live because of your underlying values. And so for us, you know, why we use these and why I shared them with you, and I'm glad you appreciate them. If once we understand a client's values, if we're going to make some recommendations, let's say, again, family is an obvious one, and they can buy an investment, which is intangible, or they could buy a house in the mountains to spend weekends with family. I'm their investment advisor. I'm a fiduciary. I have to recommend anything that's in their best interest. Probably that family house, that cabin, is better solution because they have family time. They can use that's reflective of their values. Now, I don't get paid if I sell someone. I can't even sell someone a house or a cabin. I'm not a realtor. Jesse James, and we had him on, and he could. But it's like doing what's really good for your client, and that in the long term is always the right decision. So I think it's prudent, very prudent for us, because we're not just giving investment advice. It's more lifestyle advice, and it's our advice in line with their values. And unless someone knows their values, you can't do it. So I'm glad that you appreciate that. What are your thoughts on that? Your trigger.
So the first thing I just want to say is that for those out there, the definition of values is what's important to you. And we talk about in NLP when we do elicitations of values, there's six areas we talk about. So in the context of career, relationships, family, health and fitness, personal growth and development, and spirituality. Those are the six areas that we look at your values at. And that when that, and it's interesting you talk about working with couples, because in NLP, when we do couples counseling, that family therapy mode is the idea is that with most issues with couples, it's a misalignment of values. So what's important to them in the context of life? And then also bad anchors and anchor. And that's something for a different day. That's Pavlov. And that's, you always do this when your wife does this and whatever, but values is really high in there. And it's very important. And you could also look at the hierarchy. And I just want to mention this real quick for my NLP folks that are listening. So in original NLP, it was called criteria, and there was a criteria ladder, but they're values. And we talk about top values and values in the school that I went through, and it's shifting anyway. But you could also not only go about what's important to you in the context of, you know, financial gain or financials, right? But you could also go through and elicit their values. Okay, so what's most important? Career, relationships, family, health, fitness, so on and so forth, and put those in a hierarchy as well. And if one of the couple is relationships is high, and the other one career is high, well, we can see where that could be an issue. But so yes, so values, the reason I mentioned, and I love this deck and it's great. The only thing is that with neurolinguistics, language being so important to us, and there's what's called, and I don't want to go too technical, but we talk about surface structure and deep structure of language. So surface structure is what that word means to you just at the surface, right? So when you think about dog in the surface level, you might think of a picture of a dog, whatever. However, let's say you had a bad experience with a dog when you were a small child and you don't even remember the experience, but it happened and it was a significant emotional event. Dog could be a negative thing for you. And that's the deep structure of it. So when I work with clients and work with their unconscious mind, I want the deep structure. So I always will say, like, just trust what comes up. When I ask them a question, just trust what comes up, because we want to get that response. So that's the only reason why, like on these cards, when I ask them what's important to them, are we talking about, let's say, relationships? In the context of relationships, what's important to you? And they might say a word, and then they might ask, turn around and go, is that a value? And I was like, is it to you?
And that's all that matters. Look at our audience here. The veteran entrepreneurs, most entrepreneurs are buried in their business. And so, yes, and maybe their spouse wants a deeper relationship. They want more time. They want more face time with their spouse, their lover, their partner. And that entrepreneur is trying to build something else, right? And of course, they care about their spouse, but the business comes first, because the business provides income for the lifestyle, for the relationship. And so that has to come first, because without that, there's no money. You can't have a relationship, but it's not the most productive one if you're both homeless and can't afford anything. So when you brought up that example, the relationship, the business owner, right, is focused on career, and maybe their spouse is more focused on relationship. I remember a relationship I had when I was first starting the business. I got 2 years after I got out of the Marine Corps. It was like 2004. I just started with Merrill Lynch, 2004, 2005. I was getting my licenses. I met a young woman. We started dating, and she worked for a healthcare company, had a nice income, was doing well. And in my industry, in wealth management, the first 2 years you have a trainee salary. The next 2 years, it's 100% gone. And whatever revenue or income you've built up from clients over those 2 years, once that base is gone, you eat what you kill, and that's what you got. And so I was terrified. I had a mortgage, I had a car payment, I had a refrigerator payment, right? Back when Fry's Electronics was still here, I got my refrigerator Fry's, remember that? And so I remember just working, and I was just dying. I was working all these hours trying to build relationships. I was still young, and maybe 28 then. And who wants to give a 28-year-old $1 million? Not too many people, but you had to build those relationships. So I was working. So for me, on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, I was food, water, shelter. I was at the bottom. I was just trying to make ends meet. And my partner, a girlfriend at the time, she was a love. She had a nice house already and good furniture, and parents helped out with the house, and that basics were there. Money was there. So she wanted the relationship and love. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to make sure I can make my mortgage payment, make my car payment. So it is. But I think if a couple can sit there and have that conversation and see where the other one is there, that's empowering. So what would you say for the business owner, the veteran entrepreneur, where, and this could be a whole PTSD thing too, to chat about for the veterans that have PTSD, whether you're a combat vet or not, things happen that could trigger that. Where are you seeing the applications of NLP for the business owner?
Right. Because that's all I want to get to. So that's why I was saying, like, with these cards, they're definitive. They're still amazing. And I love them. And I think it's great that you're doing it because you know it, you live it, you see how great it works. Just with my, in my world, it's a little bit different because we're working with that unconscious mind at a different level. So I just want to see what comes up.
Yes, of course. And I think as I'm standing here, sitting here, thinking about myself and my own transition from being a W-2 employee to an entrepreneur, it's survival. You must figure it out. There's no choice. Failure is not an option. And you will learn and you will change and you will fail, but you're not quitting, right? So you're going to make that transition. Some of your first calls are going to be wrong. It's going to happen.
Right.
And that's part of learning. We all have that. That's your identity and your role again. So your identity is always a 10, and your role, when you first go from being a W-2 employee to an entrepreneur, you don't have that skill set. So your role as an entrepreneur is a 1 or 2. You have drive and the passion. That's great. But then you don't have the experience skill set. But as you run your business, you set up your business, you get some clients, you get some revenue, and it starts to build and grow. And there's demand for whatever it is your business is offering. You hone that, you build those skills. And so where does NLP fit in that process? Does it help someone go through this faster? Is it being self-aware? Or where does NLP, like, where do you see your skill set? And when you're working with business owners, what is there a consistent, most are starting here and want to go there? Or what do you generally see for your entrepreneur clients?
Right. I want to back up one step back real quick, because I want to talk about values, how our values change. And some people think they don't, but they do. Obviously, things happen in your life, you move on, you change gears. And so the reason I want to take one click back is because we are talking, this is veterans and veteran entrepreneurs. And so that first step that I want to talk about in value change is when you go from being in the military to being a civilian again. Wow. Talk about values changes, right? Your whole world flips. And that affects a lot of us, honestly. It's amazing. I got out in 94, so I'm one of the older ones. And we were talking about this, like, when I got out, it was, oh yeah, at the base library, there's a book called What Color Is Your Parachute? You might want to read that. Here's your papers. And back then, we didn't get our DD-214, and it was mailed to us like a year later. But it was like, see ya, don't want to be ya, so to speak. I'm joking, of course. And you get out. And then now there's a lot of programs and they really want you to be prepared and stuff like that, which I think is amazing. But regardless of where you're at with that support, your values have to shift and what's important to you has to shift. And there has to be people there to support that. So that's one huge shift that we've all gone through for the veterans in the group that we've changed. And it works too for people that you went to college and you were in the Marine Corps, but for folks that just went to college, it's the same thing. You go from an academic world to you need to make money. To your point. So values working with, that's what our brothers and sisters see a lot of. And then when you go from, here's the payoff. When you go from working in someone's business to being an entrepreneur, your values have to shift. Yeah. Everything changes. And if you try to hold on to how you did things in the past in someone else's company, and I was guilty of that too. My first few months out starting my business, you're not going to do as well as you can. You have to be aware that your values have to change to be an entrepreneur and to shift. You could want to run a business. You can want to do what you're going to do, but it changes. What's important to you has to shift.
You see that with entrepreneurs though? Because I think, obviously, with every guest, I sit here and do self-reflection. And for me, it's more a matter of not having skills in different areas and knowing when to partner or where to find someone that has those skills. But then you have to do the cost-benefit analysis.
Right.
Maybe someone has these skills, but I can't afford their advice or guidance or help because of just where I am. Or I guess you outsource for a while, then you get big enough, then you can bring it in-house. So is it more, are you finding with your entrepreneurial clients that they're going through some head trash that they have to absolve first and they're in their own way because of their own negative emotions? Or are they just having a hard time admitting they don't have certain skills and should work on either outsourcing to someone who has those skills or learning those skills.
So every person that walks in is different. Every situation is different. I would be remiss to have a cutout of, okay, here's, you're going to start with this. There are some general things that we go through and that we start with, but it's really about, where is that person? Because where you started, when you started your company, and where I was at, I guarantee was different, for good or for worse, plus minus on both of our sides, right? So when I would meet you as a coach, we would have a conversation, and we actually go through a very deep, it's called a detailed person history, and we really find out what's going on and what you want to accomplish and how you will know when you've accomplished what you want to accomplish. So we can set that goal as well. A couple things. The first thing we want to do is we want to get rid of what's stopping you from achieving those goals. And a lot of times it comes back to maybe negative emotions and limiting decisions from the past. Maybe someone in your past, there was a scarcity issue. And maybe there was a way that, you know, we all have these rules and these filters come from our past.
Right.
Not consciously, unconsciously. And we react to them. So if someone comes to me and they're not getting the results they want, once we find out what they do want, what they truly do want, and what they're, we'll talk in a little bit about towards and away from goals, what they're really going towards, let's find out why you're not achieving it. And clear that out. Maybe you heard a conversation when you were 6 years old that making money is causing someone to not be home and be with the family. And so you're like, oh, if I make too much money, that means I'm not going to be a good family man or woman. Who knows what it means? I'm not trying to install anything. Feel free to reject that if that's not true for you. But that's one of the first things. And if you have anything tied up in issues with money, issues with success, that's the first thing that we really want to clear out. I think of it as three categories. And I see clients for two of the three. I myself have a business coach. She's amazing. She's awesome. She's literally wrote the book on it. She's awesome. And that's about those skills that I don't have. That's the third column that you mentioned that I don't see clients for that. I am not an entrepreneur expert. I am not an entrepreneur coach. I do life coaching, performance, and performance coaching in that sense. So the two sides are someone that has, and we all have stuff. Because let me tell you, if you're not living the life you desire, you have stuff holding you back. That's just and not to get esoteric, but that's just the rule of the universe. It's an abundant universe. It's all out there for us. If you're not achieving it, this isn't about, and we talk about cause and effect, but it has to come from a place of love and a place of having rapport. So I don't mean to say it in a harsh way, but that's the reality, is that we all have stuff. So that's the first part, is definitely getting rid of those thoughts and processes. And then the other thing is strategies. How you achieve things. And I definitely work with people on their strategies, because if you're not, that's the two things. If you're not where you're at, values and strategies are the first two places that I go. So strategies are how you accomplish a task or how you accomplish something in your life. And we all have them. That's the other part to it. So like I said, like you were mentioning, there is that third part about they don't have the resources or those certain skills. And that's very true. I don't work with people with that. I work with folks to get rid of the stuff from the past that might be holding them up. And then I help them build strategies. If I can share a client's success story.
Sure.
It's my first client, and it's an amazing story. I love to share it. And the clients, he signed off on me sharing it. He came to me very successful, and I'd known him for many years. And I had actually went to his wedding, and he approached me at the wedding. And he's like, I was his mentor 15 years prior. And he's, oh, you're doing that coaching stuff, right? And I was like, yeah, I want to talk to you. And at the time, he had just opened a gym. He's a personal trainer. He had a personal trainer gym that he actually had personal trainers working for him, basically. And he also trained as well. And he had one, and he wanted to open another. Well, so we got together. He became my client. It was a good fit. He became my client. And we found out that he wanted to open another gym. He wanted to open a coffee shop. That was his thing. And then he had some goals in his family, which obviously I won't go into detail on that, but he had some family goals as well. So we started off, and he was very, to your point, I don't want to work with any emotions. I don't want to cry. I don't want to deal with any of that. I just want you to help me get to where I want to go. And I'm okay. And that changes the dynamic, but you have to be flexible in your thinking. That's the key to everything in life, is being curious and being flexible. I preach that nonstop.
Curious is good.
Yeah. Curious and flexible in your thought will get you very far in this life.
Semper Gumby.
I love that that's still around.
Right? I don't know if it's still around. It was around when I was there. I assume it's still around. That was everything. You got a plan. Changed. Okay. Semper Gumby.
So what we did is we worked on it and helped him out. And the end of the story is that he ended up opening not only another personal training gym, which I actually ended up, it became a wellness center, and I actually had an office out of there for a while. And then he opened a restaurant. He got some partners and opened a restaurant as well. And then
was it right next to each other? So you got the workout, you got hungry, and then you went over to the restaurant. That's the entrepreneurial mindset. Like, how do you have both?
Exactly.
Eat, workout, and then eat.
Funny thing you mentioned that because, and he is a true entrepreneur. He's an amazing guy and a good friend of mine as well. His coffee shop idea was that he wanted to open a coffee shop adjacent to his gym because people that came for that early morning workout, they wanted that coffee. They wanted that hot drink. It was in San Francisco. It is in San Francisco. So really there's a dynamic. This was 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Pre everything else. And that didn't work out for him. He invested in a coffee shop that was nearby because he's smart and he's good at what he does and worked it that way. But he actually opened the restaurant was probably two blocks or maybe three blocks from his second gym. And his family goals, he achieved his family goals too, because he kind of took that strategy. Mindset is mindset.
Okay. So why did he come to you?
Because he wasn't sure.
Wasn't sure about what's the it?
About how to go about it. He really needed support opening his second business and his third business. He's a shoot from the hip kind of person.
Ready, fire, aim.
Yeah. And just make it happen. And he's the type of person that just makes things happen. But he wanted to be smarter. He was obviously, I met him at his wedding. So he was getting married. Starting a family was important. So he wanted to be, I think more responsible to that. So not playing, he's a gambler, that fast and loose. Let's make it happen. Let's take a shot. And he really wanted to contain that. And once again, have a vessel to put all of his energy into. They say if you have a regular light beam, it'll flash across the street maybe, but if you turn that into a laser, you can shoot it to the moon. That directed focus makes you so much stronger and more powerful.
Okay.
And that, for me, that falls in that second category of strategies, mindsets, et cetera.
So I think you said before, though, that you're not helping with the business skill set, but that is, it's mindset. Mindset is a business skill set. Once you have the right mindset, you can learn skills, right? Mindset's everything.
I was talking more of how do you fill out these forms? How do you apply to the government for this grant? Because that's a huge skill set as well that you need as an entrepreneur. The business side, how do you file a DBA? How do you get a business license? You know what I mean? That's the technical side I was talking about.
But I think our listeners, myself included as veteran entrepreneurs, they'll figure out the admin stuff. It's just a process. You can hire a smart person who's good at that. Attention to detail and they can figure that stuff out. But if you don't have the right mindset to want to learn those skills. So if you want to grow sales and you're the business owner, you can either hire a salesperson or you're the face of your business. I believe that the business owner, if anyone should be doing the sales, it should be the business owner because that owner is the business. No one's going to care more about the business than them. No one's going to know more than them. No one's going to be more proficient than them about their own business. So I always think that then, okay, so if you believe that and you realize that, yeah, if you can hire a sales rep who wants to spend your money and have nice dinners, whether they perform or not, that's great. But are they you? No. All the admin stuff that you're doing as a business owner, I think the veteran entrepreneur should find someone to handle the admin stuff. And it's more of a behavior avoidance, right? Because no one wants to sell. No one wants to go out. Because it's hard to build relationships and say, hey, you have a problem and I can maybe help you fix it. No one wants to admit they have a problem. That's what business is. All business is people solving problems for other people to get to a better outcome.
Right.
And so I think if you as the business owner, you as the entrepreneur, recognize that it's your baby and then there's no one better than you to deliver that message than having that confidence in your mind to then go out and deliver that message, but then realizing you may not have the skills to find that person, to start a conversation, to then help, even though you can help, but you don't know how to do that first. I call head trash of saying, I don't have the skill set, but you can beat yourself up. But you just realize you just need to learn it. And then you can go out there and do it. So having the wherewithal, the self-awareness to realize you have a lack of a skill, and then you're going to do whatever it takes to acquire the knowledge to build that skill, or you can outsource it. But again, I think it's raising revenue. The business owner himself should be the one doing it because no one owns it more than them. Where does NLP fit into that entire thought process? Because I'm being self-aware. I'm sitting here. I'm like, can this help me? Right? I'm a veteran entrepreneur too. Can this help me? And so I'm trying to sit there and say, what does Jason have in his toolbox that can help me be more efficient, more effective in my own business?
Right. So one of the great things about I was talking about strategies. And so I need to do a little jargon, little technical stuff real quick, just to set the stage.
Go for it.
So we talk about modalities. Modalities are our senses, sight, hearing, okay, smell, feelings, kinesthetic and tactile. Okay. So that's our modalities. Then there's submodalities, and submodalities are the nuances of each. So you talk about, so the modality, let's see, it's sight. The submodalities would be the color of the picture, the focus of the picture. Is it moving or is it fast? It's the nuance of that modality. Okay. So that's modalities and submodalities. In NLP, we work with submodalities. Now, the reason I mention that is because talking about accomplishing things, everything we do that we accomplish, we have a strategy. And the way a strategy works in our mind, because it all happens in our mind, in our unconscious. How did you learn how to drive a car? How do you know that every time you go out to the car, you don't have to go, okay, put your hand on the wheel, put your hand on the wheel, and you don't have to run through that checklist. You have a strategy. Your mind knows what to do when it does it. It just runs. You don't have to relearn everything every time. We have these strategies for everything we do. Love, sex, hate, driving a car, building a business, calling customers. We have these strategies. Those strategies are, they're categorized in our heads by pictures. So if I was asking your strategy for calling a client, so that's, you're taught, we use the example of, because this is huge for business. If someone doesn't want to call a client, there's two parts to that.
Sure.
I would say, okay, so what's, when you're going to go call a client, what's the first thing you do? A lot of what I do is training too. I have to teach people how to be in touch with their unconscious mind and in touch with these processes, because once again, they're all unconscious. So we don't think about them. So I have to help bring the unconscious to the conscious mind.
Right.
So I teach them similar to this, but a little more obviously drawn out so they really understand the process. What's the first thing you do? Is it something you hear? Something you feel? Oh, I have a picture in my head of a client and I want to call them. So you make a picture. Okay. And then what? Oh, and then I say to myself internally, oh, I need to call this person. Okay. And then what? And it goes from there. And you have a strategy all the way too. I could almost guarantee you, if you don't like calling clients, reaching out to clients, you have an error in your strategy. Somewhere in that strategy is, oh, and then I think they're not going to want to talk to me. Oh, and then I get a picture of someone getting mad that I'm bothering them. Somewhere in that strategy is a hiccup. And what NLP does, I help you clean that strategy up, get rid of that, and install a new strategy. So you're going to, when you think about calling a client excited, you're motivated. You're like, yes, yes. And that comes to play. So that's a huge piece of removing it and reprogramming it.
So it's being aware of your own, I just keep going back to it. We call it head trash, just being aware of your own head trash and identifying it and trying to remove it, right? So I'll just share my last example or just what popped in my mind before we end the podcast here. And I'm going to ask you one quick question too. Actually, tee you up with, if you think about the one thing the veteran entrepreneur needs to consider when considering NLP, that's what I'm going to hit you with in a minute. But my own example was, again, me not being a combat vet. In my own mind, I've said this several times on the podcast, I had trash, like I was a second-rate veteran, like at the same time you were. So when you and I first chatted, you and I were actually vibing quite well. We're very different people. We had very different, very similar experiences, very similar feelings. Because again, the crew after us was at war for 20 years, so everybody went. And so I again, felt like a sub-rate veteran. And it wasn't until I went to the American Legion and heard from Commander Cragg, who was on the podcast last week, which is actually awesome. And I realized what I'm doing in this podcast and in my career to help other veterans is worth more than anything I ever did as active duty or on active duty, excuse me. And so I completely had a shift. And where I felt insecure and though I didn't deserve to be around these other better veterans, I realized that I'm doing more for veterans than most of these other veterans are. And that it should be the other way around. So I completely flipped. So that was intentionally NLP, but it sounds almost like that though. Would you say as an expert, am I having the right, I guess, self-analysis or what would you 100%. Consider that? Self-awareness of acknowledging a negative mental situation that you were self-imposed, removing it and replacing it with a better one.
Yeah, you're spot on. And that's something that we work on. That's talking about submodalities. So not to go too deep in it, but I guarantee you, when you thought about you being a veteran, the picture in your head that you had, I could almost guarantee it was darker, maybe black and white, maybe fuzzy. it wasn't the greatest picture. Maybe it was far away from you when you thought about you being a veteran, but almost once again, I could almost say that now when you think of yourself as a veteran and helping, your picture is probably brighter, sharper in color, closer to you, and gives you a better feeling, right? That's the modalities. That's using, and that I've talked a lot about this before, and it's a huge piece because it's so powerful.
100%.
It's using the submodalities of the mind to change your how you interact with these thoughts and even with tasks and items as well. But for you specifically, that shifted. And that's, you can do that with working with someone like me, or it's just something that you flip that switch and it changed for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. So it sounds like we are in alignment along with our mindset there.
Yeah.
So what is the one thing you would say as we end the podcast, Jason? What is the one thought or one tidbit or nugget you would share from your experience with working veteran entrepreneurs mentally, spiritually, it almost sounds like emotionally? What is the one thing and the one bit of knowledge you'd like to share with the audience before we end the podcast?
Thank you. The one thing that after I leave a session with every client, wherever level they're at, and this really pertains to entrepreneurs because of the life that we live, is your focus.
Focus.
I tell them from now on, focus on what you do want, not on what you don't want. And it sounds so simple, but when you think about it, if you're worried about paying your bills, you're focusing on what you don't want. If you're worried about not having clients, you're focusing on what you don't want, right? So having to switch that mindset to focus on what you do want and going towards your goal, not away from what you don't want, but towards what you do want, and have a clear picture, clear, precise picture of what success looks like and install that in your brain, that will take you across the finish line. As you see it.
So drive forward, don't look back. Drive forward, don't look back. I love it, man. This has been great. Jason, if someone wants to reach out to you for coaching, how would they reach you?
Thank you. Yeah, my website is onepathcoaching.com. And
the number one or spelled out one?
I'm sorry, it's all spelled out words. So O-N-E-P-A-T-H.
I ever spell coaching? That big word?
I'm a Marine, damn it. Come on. I am a jarhead at heart. Come on.
Read on the crayons.
And the same token. So it's all spelled out, onepathcoaching@gmail.com. Feel free to email me.
Awesome, man. This is great, dude. I appreciate you being here. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'm Brett Henderson. And you talk about the strategy and have strategies, hence the name of our firm, Strategic Wealth Endeavor. Like literally everything you're saying resonates. Like I'm so happy with the name of the firm we came up with because everyone has their own wealth endeavor. They're on their own wealth endeavor. We just bring a little strategy to it, just like what you're doing. So like to hear you say it is making me feel good about what we've done for our own business. So this has been great and enlightening for me, man. And to hear that, I'm going to be selfish for a sec. Some of the things I've come up with just are in line with what you're doing, but I'm just thinking through and it just happens. And you're actually professionally coached. So the fact I'm somehow fixing my own head trash subconsciously and consciously is pretty awesome. So I feel great. Actually, this is a great thing with this podcast. Like I meet so many amazing people. It's helping me grow, me feel better, and me just grow and embrace every day and look at life differently every single day. So I want to thank you for being on here, Jason. If anyone wants to reach me, I'm Brett at SWE90.com, SWE90.com. Phone number 310-491-7045. Again, 310-491-7045. Jason, this is great, man. Thanks for being here, and let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank
you. Number five, brother.
Number five.
Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass podcast. Don't forget to click the follow button to become notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through IFP Investors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, a registered investment advisor. IFP and Strategic Wealth Endeavor INC are not affiliated. The views expressed are that of the host and are for informational purposes only and in no event should be construed as an offer to buy or sell securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Neither IFP Investors LLC, IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, nor their affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. The information given herein is taken from sources that IFP Advisors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners.